Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Here's Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 12 after. Part of our program today is to celebrate the life of Dan Fogelberg. I'm very happy to do that. And as you know, I've been very quick to point out that a lot over the years, over the last 10 years plus, that a lot of our bumper music has been Dan Fogelberg's. And I've enjoyed saying what album a particular song came from, to encourage you to go and buy it, because I think your life will be enriched if you have a chance to hear Dan's music. It's high quality stuff, and as you know, as many of you know, we lost him at a much too young age of 56 this last weekend, and I'm gonna keep playing his music as long as I'm around, because I think it's important stuff. Dr. Roos is our guest. He's our good friend. He's one of the most successful real estate investors on planet Earth. He's the author of many, many books on the topic. Many of you have subscribed to his real estate purchasing and selling and investing, method. And I'm glad to say he's our friend and our brain trust member. Dolph, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here again.
It's good to have you back. Now, Dolph, I've got to ask you, because this is what we do. You know, we got to come full circle on a story. Back in probably 04 or 05, you told me, you were on the show, and you told us that you were buying one house a week in Las Vegas. And so your goal was in a 1 year period to buy 52 houses. And as I remember, you actually accomplished that in less than a year. And so that was back when Vegas was really rocking and rolling. Today, if I'm not mistaken, Las Vegas is not one of the bright spots on the housing front in the United States. So how did you do?
Well, we did very well, and there's a bit of an irony involved here, because I set out to buy 52 homes in a year just to prove it could be done. It wasn't out of arrogance or anything, but so many people were telling me, Jim, that you can't do this. You can't buy a house without putting any money in, and you certainly can't buy more than one in a year. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if I can show people that it is possible and relatively easy to buy a house a week for an entire year, then it might inspire some people to buy two or three in a year. So to do this, I had to have a system. I had to have a mechanism of getting houses into my hopper that were very advantageously priced and that I could rent out. So one of the renting mechanisms I used, Jim, was a so-called lease option. This is where the tenant leases the property from me, but they have an option to buy it.
You owned the house, fee simple. You owned it outright yourself.
That is correct.
And you bought the house, and then you brought in a renter, but who actually was leasing with an option to purchase.
Right. And they'd pay me a fee for that option. They'd pay me typically $5,000 to give them the right to buy the property. And I needed that $5,000 to buy the property. So it was
And the thing about it is, a lot of these people who gave you $5,000 couldn't have bought that house and gotten the down payment on that house. They would have had to have had a whole lot more than that. So you actually got them into the house for less money than they could have gotten in for.
That's exactly right. But here's the thing. Nationwide, Jim, on average, only 2% of lease option properties go to the option being exercised and the tenant ending up buying the property. Mm-hmm. Only 2%. 98% of them fall over. They don't end up buying it. But in Vegas, the year that I bought those homes, 2003, the market went up so much. On average, Vegas went up by 53.7%. That is huge. The market went up so much that even if the tenant couldn't afford to buy the property, they knew that they'd be better off on selling it, buying it from me, exercising their option, in other words, and then selling it at $100,000 or $200,000
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, all of my lease options went to the client ending up buying the property.
Wow.
So they did very well out of it.
And
it
you got out.
Me. I would have done even better if they hadn't exercised their option. But the net result is that I am out of almost all those Vegas homes.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not burnt. You haven't been burned. Has the price of those properties come down? Have they got some pretty significant deflation there in Vegas?
Well, there's been some significant falls, but mainly because people are panicking, and that's the whole scenario that we have to remember in this current market. The number of people that have to buy properties for the market to go up significantly is very small. And similarly, the number of people that go into foreclosure or that are forced to sell or that want to get out because they're moving, for the market to tank is also relatively small.
Well, there are two issues here, aren't there? There's the structural issue of the real price declines, and then there's the emotional part, isn't there?
That's exactly right. And people's emotions are fueled because they're panicking. And people are selling for the wrong reasons.
There's a new term that I learned a couple of weeks ago that I've been using quite a bit lately because it just fits so much. And it's called, availability cascade. Availability cascade. And what that means is, it means that when you hear something so much in the media, it becomes true. It becomes real.
That is exactly right. I love that expression.
And isn't that great? Now, I learned that from Holman Jenkins Jr., who's an editorialist for the Wall Street Journal, and he says that availability cascade is when the media covers it so much, like very very similar to global warming. When the media just drives global warming down your throat so much, you actually start believing that it must be true. And is that what's happening in real estate, you think?
Well, to a certain extent. Listen, there is definitely a downturn in prices. I mean, the numbers cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the only people really being hurt are those who are forced to sell. Listen, here's what really amuses me. When you talk about the stock market might go down 20% in a week, and the pundits are saying, well, there's been a minor correction in the stock market, but we see no reason why it shouldn't turn around very shortly. This happens with monotonous regularity. No one minds. And yet if real estate goes down by 20%, which I don't even think it has right now, you know, everyone's saying the market's crashed, the gold rush is over. Now what do you say, Jim Blasinger and Dolph DeRoos? You always said it would go up, and now it's gone down. You know, they overreact. And the thing is, the population of this country is continuing to increase. That means that demand is continuing to go up. We've known from previous property crashes that the market recovers. Yet we've also known from stock market crashes that companies that go under stay under.
Well, that's Enron, the point that I've been trying to make.
Their money back.
Is reminding everybody these are real properties. This is real estate, not stocks. That if they've gone down, it's real property with real families in them who have real jobs. And that's the difference, I think. Stand by, Dolph. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Right back. It's 20 after these messages. Stay with us.
But there is nobody living inside.
Another great Dan Fogelberg song, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty sure this is the Innocent Age album 2 from this song. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we celebrate lots of things here on this show. We celebrate life. We celebrate small business. We celebrate the entrepreneurial spirit. We celebrate liberty, the thing that gives us the opportunity to pursue our dreams, which we certainly have in large to an incredible degree in the United States. And today we celebrate the life of Dan Fogelberg. I also am celebrating the friendship that we have with our good friend Dolph DeRoos. Dolph, as you know, is the author of Real Estate Riches, How to Become Rich Using Your Banker's Money, and many, many other books and programs that you can find at his website. Dolph, give that to us, please.
Jim, thank you so much. The website is www.dolphderoos.com, DolphDeRoos.com. If you can't remember that, just Google Dolph, D-O-L-F, it rhymes with golf, and it's the first thing that will come up.
There are not too many more. He's a unique person, folks, and not too many more of those guys out there. And probably some people are glad about that, Dolph. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, yes. I mean, you know, it's hard for me to hide when you have a unique name and that, but on the other hand, it's easy to find me.
That's exactly right. And by the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and use all the stuff that we have to your advantage. In fact, many interviews that Dolph and I have done over the years are right there on the website that you can get to very easily and listen to some of the things that Dolph has talked to us about on real estate. Dolph, what do you think about – well, whenever I have contemplated and talked about the real estate market in the United States and the subprime meltdown, they call it, and all that, the thing that I remind people about, the reason I don't think this is going to get as bad as a lot of people think it is because, as I said as we went to the break, this is real assets. These aren't stocks that are some imagined value that some analyst said that it's worth. This is real bricks and mortar. They're homes where human beings live, where families live. These people have jobs. They're not going to lose their jobs because there are 2 million jobs going wanting in America. We're going to continue to employ people. This is a minor correction that I believe that is going to be in the interest also of the mortgage companies to work out something with the people who are maybe in a little bit of trouble. This is not going to get as bad, in my opinion, as a lot of people think it is. What do you think?
I fully agree with you. Homes are represented by bricks and mortar, or wood and studs and goodness knows what. But they're real. You can kick them. You can smell them. They're there. They're not disappearing. And an interesting exercise to do, Jim, is to go around and look at properties that were around 20 years ago. And you will find that today, almost all of them are still around. There are a few that we've lost through earthquakes.
And most of them are worth more than they were.
Well, they're all worth more, but they're all still there, except for a few that we've lost through earthquakes and fire. Mm-hmm. But you get insurance against that. So even if you lost a home through an earthquake or through fire, you are covered by insurance. And now here's the interesting analogous exercise. Take out a newspaper from 20 years ago, look it up online, and look at the companies that were on the stock market and see how many of those are still around. The Enron, Tyco, Montgomery Ward, WorldCom, and dozens more like that, they no longer exist. They are gone. All the money that had been plowed into them by investors has disappeared. They have lost it for good.
Do you think that now is a good time to invest in real estate, or is it just a little too early?
Well, now's a good time to buy. If you find a bargain, if you find a great deal, buy it. But I think better times might be ahead in the 6 months or so. But here's the thing. For 7 years in this country, Jim, I was not buying very much because I was competing against people who had what I call irrational exuberance.
Right.
They didn't care what they paid for a property because they subscribed to the greater fool theory. And, Jim, the greater fool theory is no matter how big a fool you are to buy a property today at a ridiculously high price, it doesn't matter because tomorrow there'll be an even bigger fool to buy it from you at an even higher price.
And what you don't want to be is the last fool.
That's right, and many were because they were all buying and buying and buying because everyone was saying you should be buying. Listen, there's a saying that when the milkman's son tells you to buy real estate, you should stay clear. And here's the irony. The market's come off the top a little bit. Now people have stopped buying. There's this major correction going on, as everyone refers to it. The bottom's dropped out of the market, as people are referring. And no one is buying. There are banks that are giving away properties. There are people saying, take over
is
my
Is that a good
payment.
Place to find real estate right now, is the foreclosed houses that the banks are needing to get rid of?
And that's right. They're all good sources. There are so many good sources.
I have now a strategy that I use with that, Dolph.
Yes.
Most of those houses are offered by banks through realtors.
Yes.
I refuse to negotiate with the realtor. Now, I'm not going to cut the realtor. The realtor can get their commission. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to negotiate with the banker. I'm not going to negotiate with the realtor. I cut the realtor out of the negotiations. What do you think?
We've got to look at human nature, and people on a commission, they make money based on the size of the transaction. So they don't have the same incentive as you do.
Plus, they're not as good a negotiator as I am.
And on top of that, that is absolutely correct, yes.
And so I don't go through the realtor. So, folks, tell your banker, find who the banker is, and say, look, I don't want to keep you from paying that guy his commission. That's fine. I just want to negotiate you and me. Hey, Dolph, give us the website again, please.
DolphDeRoos.com. DolphDeRoos.com.
Will you come back another day, Dolph?
Absolutely well. It's always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dolph. Dolph DeRoos, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.